right, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast episode. We're going to call it 72.5, 72 and a half. We're only briefly going to talk about Crimson Days because it just came out today, and I have gotten to play a decent amount of it. It's been pretty fun for me, I will say that. So we're going to briefly discuss Crimson Days, what we think of the event so far, and then we are going to cut that off and we are going to move into an In Real Life podcast. So I'm probably going to split these two up into two different things to drop on the SoundCloud. Look for those in the upcoming days. But in the meantime, yeah, Crimson Days released. Kit, have you had a chance to hop into it yet, or you just been checking out the public feedback?
Yeah, I've not had a chance at all to jump in, but it sounds like it's being generally pretty well received, at least the quarters that I've been checking in with so far. And I know it sounded like you had a pretty positive experience overall as well.
Yeah, I've played a decent amount of the PvP so far. It's been pretty fun. It basically is just another, I don't know how to say it, another stab wound to the overall body that is this current type of gameplay, base gameplay that we have in D2. First, we had Mayhem, and Mayhem had increased abilities and everything like that, and everybody had a total blast. And then they took it away, and we went back to the boring, normal D2 meta. And now we've got Crimson Days, where sticking next to your teammate rapidly increases the cooldowns of all your abilities, and sure enough, it's tons of fun again. So it's kind of just another, it's just more proof that this is the type of gameplay that makes Destiny fun. And not only that, it's a really good game type just in general. Number one, Burnout is an awesome map. Burning Shrine was one of my favorite maps from D1, and Burnout is an improvement on it, which I know you would think, how is that possible? But it is. The fact that there's no sun anymore outside means that there's none of that glare camping. And overall, the map just honestly looks cooler. Like, it looks amazing. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful map. Super fun to play. It fits really, really well in D2. And on top of that, the fact that your abilities are coming back so fast, just, it's tons of fun. And there's only two people, so you kind of expect the team shots a little bit more. So it's not nearly as infuriating to play against. I've honestly really, really enjoyed myself playing so far, and I'm actually looking forward to playing this week. I'm going out and recruiting people who have stopped playing Destiny and being like, hey, come back, let's play some Crimson Days. So I'd say overall it's a pretty resounding success.
Yeah, it's really impressive to me when I scroll through the front page of Destiny the Game subreddit, and the posts that are about Crimson Days PvP are almost universally either positive or at the very least not negative. It was really encouraging to see that. I don't check it daily anymore, but I did check it out because I wanted to see what the pulse was on how PvP came out and if it worked or if it didn't work, and if it was really worth putting some time in and setting some hours aside to really dive in, or if I should maybe just fit it in when I could. But it sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like you don't have to find a good teammate. You can dive in just as a solo player, and at least maybe your results, your mileage may vary, but it sounds like it's a good time just solo queuing.
Now here's the thing. I solo queued a couple times and won both the games that I solo queued, and it wasn't even really that much of a contest. I got matched with a really good teammate one time, and we just stomped the other team, and I got matched with an okay teammate the other time, and we won still pretty handily. But I will say there are some aspects of the game that are easily abusable thanks to the increased cooldowns across the board. We ran into a team that was double Striker Titans running double pulse grenades, and they would just launch four pulse grenades about every 15 seconds, it seemed like. And they would just camp in an area and just completely wall off the corridors that were coming to that area with pulse grenades. It made it very, very difficult to kill them once they bunkered down. But we were still able to beat them. And then the other thing that a teammate and I were actually doing is running double Night Stalkers with Gemini Jesters and Invisible Evade. And because evade recharges in basically 5 seconds as long as you're next to your teammate, you pretty much are always invisible. And because we have Gemini Jesters, the other team pretty much never has radar. So not only did they not have radar, but we were invisible and they didn't have aim assist. That was pretty brutal. I almost felt bad for the other team. But I was going into it expecting the matches to be super, super sweaty, so I was going to take every advantage I could be given. So there are some things that are abusable. If you get matched up against good players, they're probably going to stomp you. I have a feeling that a two-man team of very good players is probably never going to lose this entire week unless they get matched up versus another one. But it seems like the population is high enough that I didn't experience anyone really just, like, you know, mopping the floor with me. So that was pretty nice.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that's encouraging to hear. You know, I'm okay with taking a loss. I'm also okay with taking advantage of what's available in the game. I'm not, you know, use like they say on Crucible Radio, use whatever, don't apologize. That's always worked for me. So well, awesome. That sounds like a really good time, but this is not a full massive breakdown, and we don't have a full breakdown to really cover at this point on Crimson Days. So I guess unless you had did you have a final point you wanted to add on that note?
I just want to say that I really like what they're doing with the Valentine's Day Engrams. How you can only get them through gameplay. But the rewards that you get break down into Bright Dust, which is pretty awesome, unlike what happened in the Dawning. And on top of that, so you can't buy them from the store, but you can buy a selection of items from the store. Now, to me, this is exactly the way these events should work in the future, because it actually makes me excited to play to try to get these Engrams, because I don't feel like I'm, you know, losing out by not spending real money. But at the same time, I can also go to the store and actually buy individual items and not have to worry about RNG. So it's literally like the best of both worlds to me, and I absolutely love that they made that change. And I really hope they stick with something like that in the future, because we talked about this a while ago, but I really like the idea of narrowing down the loot pools and making the loot pools more specific than what they are right now. The biggest problem that I think is that loot is diluted. Like, there's world armor, world weapons, and you can get them basically everywhere, and it makes them not feel special because it doesn't feel like there's any story behind them. Like, oh, I turned in an Engram on Nessus and got the exact same thing as if I turned in an Engram in the EDZ. Like, that isn't really that fun to me. So I hope that they take this idea of, like, this specifically is the Valentine's Day loot and that's it. And I really would like to see them, you know, spread that to the entire game, because this whole idea of just, like, giving you a ton of random crap from a huge loot pool happened because of Eververse with their gigantic-ass illuminated Engrams, you know, pool, where there was 100 things in it and you could just randomly get something. And they took that and they shuffled it into the entire world, and I absolutely hate it. Like, I want gunsmith weapons to come from the gunsmith. I want earth weapons to come from earth. I want titan weapons to come from titan. I want Nessus weapons. You know, I want stuff like that. And they haven't done it yet, and I think it's really taking away a lot of the excitement for getting rewards. But that's pretty much all I had to say.
That's something I know that we have talked about a few times in the past. It's kind of the same concept as strike-specific loot, but just generalized to the whole world. It gives you a reason to go and play specific content because you know you're going to get specific rewards. And so if you want a specific look, you know what you have to do. It's all about, I guess, kind of clarifying the path to get to where you want to be in the game for people. And it's not about making it easy. It's just about making it clear. Like, if I want to get all of the, you know, EDZ armor or whatever, then I go and play in the EDZ. But right now, it doesn't work like that. I can play anywhere, and I'll just randomly get it. Or the EDZ weapons, I guess, is a better example. They just show up everywhere. And so I don't know. I don't even know what weapons are from Earth at this point, unless I sit there and read all of the lore and then guess. So yeah, I know what you're saying, and I know we've kind of beat that horse to death in the past, but I don't think it hurts to bring it up again. Maybe they'll get there.
Well, it's part of what made Destiny 1 feel special, is you knew that if you did a certain activity, there were certain rewards that were linked to it, and if you didn't do that activity, you wouldn't get those rewards. And I know they wanted to go away from that because it forced people to do activities they didn't want to do. But that's kind of part of the fun of Destiny, is doing something you're not comfortable with. Now, there's a difference between doing it once, twice, three times, and having to do it 50 times. You know, nobody wants you to have to do something 50 times. But doing it a realistic amount, like, you should dip your toes in everything. There's a post on Reddit today, which I don't normally appreciate complaint posts, but this guy restarted his accounts with his friends and played through D2 again to see what it was like, you know, from a new player's perspective at this point in time. And he said it was totally boring. It was directionless because he didn't have to raid. He didn't have to do anything, and he still got to max light level. Like, he could have just done public events the entire time and gotten to max light, and that's super boring. Like, Nightfalls weren't any different than Heroic Strikes, and he didn't even need to raid, and he didn't need to do trials, and, like, he was just, like, inundated with gear from all these different things, and none of it had any meaning to it. He was never forced to leave his comfort zone, and because players take the easy way out, he wasn't forced to do it, and it became super boring. And you'd think, well, if you're bored, go play something else, but that's not the way it works for most players in a looter shooter.
Yeah.
They want to be told, you have to get this by doing this. When they just say, you'll get it no matter what, well, then it's not special anymore. Then nobody cares. If anybody can do it, or if anybody can get it by doing anything, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Especially with the way roles work right now, where there's no, you know, RNG, there's no multiple perks. But, I mean, that's a story for another day. That's just the last thing I want to say. I really appreciate the way they're doing loot in the Valentine's Day event, and it's actually making me excited to go out and try to get that loot, because I know that I get it from the Crimson Days playlist and from leveling up. So I'm like trying to do that as much as I can, because I want to get as much of those loot as I can.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice change.
And that I think probably is enough said on the subject for now. I don't have anything else to add to that.
That works for me. A 10 minute episode. Hopefully we'll get some news in the future and we'll be able to come back at you with episode 73.